Good morning, everyone. First of all, I'd like to express my appreciation to the Yeshiva, Rav Pesach, Eli Feder, for allowing me to give this shiur and to share some Torah with you. I'd like to begin by just saying one or two things about my father. My father really had a long-term relationship with Yeshiva. And we're going back to the 70s, which was a little complicated time for the yeshiva here for a lot of reasons. But there are two stories that I want to tell that kind of stand out and I think reflect his relationship to yeshiva and learning. The first thing has to do with my sister Toby, who I think I need to mute right now so she can't object to the story. And that is, my father used to learn with Toby. She'd come home, whatever they taught in Tag, it was Chumash, if they were on bonds, they used to learn together. And my father, he had a certain insight and knowledge and he of human nature, and he understood his children. He had a certain insight. I never appreciated it and was quite surprised when I learned about it. But he had this insight, and he understood what a special mind Toby had. And when it came time to make a shidduch for Toby, he felt that she needed a partner who also would have a special mind and someone who she could relate to, not just as someone in building a home and a family, but someone she could relate to at that level. And it came to his attention that there was a special Talmud in the yeshiva, Danny Wolf. And my father reached out to, not sure either Rebbe or Rebbetzin, but he reached out to the Chaits and he enlisted their aid in making the shidduch. And I think, as they say, the rest is history. The second little story that I wanted to tell was my first year learning in yeshiva. So my parents were visiting from Israel, and I went out with my father, or I was speaking with him. I was telling my father how much I was enjoying learning. It gave me pleasure, and I liked doing it. I enjoyed it so much. And my father told me how happy he was. And he said that the prior year I had been learning in Eretz Yisrael at a rather well-known Hezder yeshiva that shall remain nameless, and how I'd be learning the yeshiva, and he knew I was learning yeshiva, and he said, "I know you didn't like learning when you were there. You didn't enjoy it." And I said, "Well, you know, I didn't know that I didn't enjoy it." Now I'm kind of getting a little nervous at it, you know, what was my tell? And he said, "You used to come home for Shabbos, and I never saw you learn over the weekends when you were home." So I knew you were learning because you were supposed to learn, but I saw that if it was really something you enjoyed, then it wouldn't be possible just to shut off for 48 hours. And I don't know what amazed me more, that he recognized that or they'd never said a word about it. Just let it be. But it made him tremendously happy that he saw that, as we say in Tefillah, Baharevna, that Torah was something that I now enjoyed. And on a personal note, I need to thank Rebbe and Rabbi Mann for that, and the yeshiva as a whole. But I know that it was something that made my father happy. And he wasn't happy simply as maybe a proud parent would naturally be happy. But he was happy because he loved learning. And he felt that if I love learning, then I now had something. And something that would be of such great value and a source of enjoyment and meaning to me. That's what really made him happy. Now time for the shiur. So I'd like to say that for the past few years, I've been learning with my dear friend and Chavrusa Moshe Mazels. We've been learning Zvachim, and there are some ideas that we've kind of developed over the years that I think we'd like to share. They had a lot of meaning to us, and hopefully be interesting to you. What I'd also like to say is I welcome participation and questions. Different people have different methods of giving shiur. To me, when it's more interactive, I think it makes it probably easier for me, but I think it's more enjoyable for people. So I'm going to constantly kind of ask, are there questions? Anyone have any comments? So feel free to speak up. So the topic of this year is Yesod HaMizbeach and Kapara, literally referring to the base of the Mizbeach. And I'm going to give you some factual explanation to this. We're here in the yeshiva. Behind me is the bima, and the bima is kind of almost like an upside down mizbeach. But the basic mizbeach had a base around the mizbeach that was called the yesod, and then it quickly narrowed and went up for approximately, I believe it was 5 amos, and then it had what's called the sovig, and it went up again, and you had the koronos on top. But we have what we can call the yesod, which is the base of the mizbeach. So the first source we're going to look at is the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and it's in Beis Yud. And if anyone happens to have a Rambam, he has a picture there. So the Rambam reads as follows. Yesod HaMizbeach lo hayamakif me'avu ruchosav kmo hasovim. The Yesod HaMizbeach did not encircle or go completely around the Mizbeach on the four sides as the Sovev did. The Sovev went all the way around, the Yesod did not. Ella, but Haya HaYesod Mashach keneged koruach tzafon umarov. The Yesod filled the entirety of the north and the west side. The Ofel Bidrom Ama Achas of the Mizrach Ama Achas. But on the south side and the east side, it only went in one Ama. Now, just so you realize that you had 32 Amas. So it was really just one Ama, a very small portion. The Keren Dromis Mizrachis and the southeast corner, Aloha La Yesod. And there was no Yesod on the southeast corner. So here in Yeshiva, if the bima behind me is the Mizbeach, and the Aron is where the Ulam or the Hechel was, so on this side, you would have the Kevesh, which was the ramp. But if this is the Mizbeach behind me, so the side of the Mizbeach that was right opposite the Hechel, that was the Marav, that had a Yesod. And the side that would be over here, which was Tzafon, had a Yesod. But other than that, there was just an Amah on the south side coming out and an Amah on the east side. Sounds like a very strange thing. Anybody know why there was no Yesod on most of the east and south side?
The ramp would get in the way. The
south side. So actually, the ramp was only 30 Amos that had a 2 Amma extension. So but that's not the reason. It's a good possibility.
Rabbi Klar, wasn't there a drain on the bottom of the ramp?
Thank you, but it's Naftali. The drain, right, but the drain was on the corner, but that was where there was a Yesod. The drain was on the south west corner, but that was where the Yesod is. The question is that for 31 out of 32 Amos of the other two sides, there was no Yesod at all. So, Mayor.
Yehuda.
Right. So, the Gemara says that the reason there was no Yesod was because it was in the Chelek of Yehuda. And we have in the Birchus Yaakov, Binyamin Ze'ev Yitroth. So, it's very interesting, a targum there. But basically, it was Mesorah, and the halacha was that the Yesod had to be in the Chelek of Binyamin. So, there was no Yesod. So just to kind of paint a little picture, here in Yeshiva, we would be, imagine we're in the Harabayas right now, okay? We would be in what's called the Ezras Kohanim right here. And the way the Ezras Kohanim worked, the way it worked was the Harabayas, and as you came up through the Ezras Nashim and the Ezras Yisrael and the Ezras Kohanim, basically until you reached the Mizbeach was Chelek Yehuda. And then from the Mizbeach and beyond was Chelek Binyamin. So the halacha was that it had to be in Chelek Binyamin, Mizbeach. But you had Chelek Yehuda. But if you think about it, it's a little strange. First of all, it wasn't a neat line because you actually had an Amma on this side, which would be the east side. which was actually, you had that little jut out of Binyamin. But what's even more strange is that at least you could say that there was a somewhat of a line going across from the, I guess it would be south to north. But what was really strange is the Gemara says that there was a ritsua that went out this way towards the Hecha. So that was what Aaron was referring to when he said that, you know, with the Kevesh there and everything, there was actually a strip that went between the Mizbeach and the Kevesh and the ramp that was actually Chelek Nachal of Yehuda. So if you think about it, how you would apportion two pieces of land, it seems very, very strange because it's almost like that was going specifically there. And just totally interjecting just one Amma going out on a line, and then you have been, and then, and that's it. So the question is, so why was it that way? That's the first question.
And why does Binyamin get the Yesod and not Judah?
Well, that's a halacha, and that's a good question. Maybe we'll take that up. That's almost another shir. Maybe we'll take that up later, right? What's that idea that it's not just the Mizbech, but it's also the Heichal, the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKadosh.
The footprint of the extra Amma, that was the footprint of Yehuda around the Mizbech.
Wherever the Amma was Binyamin.
Everywhere else was Yehuda.
Right. It's a maslokas in the Gemara, but we posit really that there was no Yesod in the Chelek of in the Chelek of Yehuda. There's another sheet that says there was not the Yisod, but it would be possible it could be Makadosh the Dam. But we're basically learning that there was no Yisod.
It sounds like the reason the shape of the Yisod was the way it was because of the idea of the Yisod, and that Chelek was given to Binyamin rather than
Binyamin being the odd
shape.
Well, the Gemara kind of says the other way. That the Gemara implies really that this was the Masorah. But that's really the question. So let's just take this step by. So the first question is, it just seems like a very strange way that the that Mikdash would be divided up in terms of the Nachal. So why should that be? And to Rabbi Feder's question, it seems like you have most of the important stuff is in the Nachal of Binyamin anyway. So what's the point? So we wanted to say as follows. We wanted to say that Mikdash was given for all of Klal Yisrael. We also learned Mikdash for Shachanti B'Socham. And so Mikdash could not be in the Nachal of one Sheva. That would take away from the idea that it's really for Klal Yisrael as a whole. So it had to be a multiple Shvatim. So it was set up in a way, that's why you have Yehuda in there and you have Binyamin in there. But more so, that idea had to be manifest. It had to be demonstrated. And so the way Mikdash was set up is so that when someone would come in and they would encounter Mizbeach, they would have an immediate recognition. This would be clear that this is not just Binyamin. This is for all of Klal Yisrael. Why do you have this strange shape, right? Well, here's Yehuda and here's Binyamin. And this is a Mikdash of all of Klal Yisrael. So, first of all, Inla Dever Sof, if you do that. And there was also a practical side. So just simply saying that it's really two things. It's one and it's more than one. And that's the idea.
Is it originally specifically the Mizbeach? Are you saying about Mikdash?
So that's the question now. So that's exactly the question. That's a very nice idea, maybe. But the question is, why was Mizbeach picked for this? And specifically, is there some idea in Yesod why this idea should be expressed through the Yesod? So that's the first question that I want to take away from this. This is kind of like, we're going to skip forward a little bit, but Leslie mentioned this, so I'm going to just say that the Rambam explains how in the Yesod, in the corner, there was actually a specific place for the pouring of the Dam. And we're going to get to the Sherei Adam a little later on. The next halach in the Rambam is a little bit further on. Now it's Yud Zayin, Beis Yud Zayin. And the Rambam says like this, Abra krono shel mizbeach, b'yisodo v'rivuo ma'akfin. So the four horns of the mizbeach up on top, the yisod of the mizbeach, the base, and the fact that it has to be square is ma'akev. V'chol mizbeach she'in lo keren, the Yesod, the Kevesh, the Revuah, Harehu Pasul. And any Mizbech that does not have a Keren, the Yesod, the ramp, and the square is Pasul because the four Ma'akev. Any questions here? So obviously the Rambam seems to be almost contradicting himself. First he tells you that you need three, right? That the three, the Keren and the Yesod, and the fact that it squares Ma'akev, and then he tells you that four Ma'akev. So, a simple question. Why did he leave out Kevesh in his first statement, but then he answered in the second statement?
You read it again, sir.
Arba Koronos Shel Mizbeach, the four horns up on top of the Mizbeach, the Yesodo and the base, the Rivuo, the Halach that has to be square, Ma'akvin, period. The Chol Mizbeach, She'in Lo Keren, the Yesod, the Kevesh, the Ravua, Harehu Pasul, She Arba Osan Ma'akvin. So the second time he adds Kevesh. Left out in the first, this is the Frankel edition, so you don't have to go running for a critical edition here. Okay, so that's the question, right? The question is, seems to be something about Kevesh that the Rambam left it out of the first statement but added to the second statement. Kevesh is the ramp. So if you, again, if we go back to our case here with the bima, the ramp was going up here like this. Started down, it was on the south side, went towards the north side. No. That's a good question. I think it's Shiloh also. Well, we're going to see. So that's a good question. It's simply a practical thing. Why should be Ma'akev at all? Well, that's a practical thing, but that's not a halacha thing. Then, I mean, look, if you can't get to the Kronos and you can't put the Dom there, then you're going to have a problem. But why is that a halacha?
So, right.
I mean, you know, you can't say Ones, we'll go build a Kevesh, right? But
steps.
What?
Steps.
Whatever, figure it out.
No, I'm saying now
well, there's a separate issur. Right, there's a separate issur of steps, by the way. But this is not that law. This is not the law of Losala Bimalos, okay? That's not the law. This is just separate halacha that Kevesh is Ma'akev. And as Moshe points out, if it's a practical matter, then, I don't know, figure it out, but it's not a psalm. It has become a psalm in Mizbeach. All right, next. So we have an interesting Gemara now. It's a short Gemara, a couple of interesting pieces, though. And it's Gemara in Zvachim, Daf Nun Aleph Amen Aleph. I'm going to give you a little background on the Chumash first. So we're in Parshas Vayikra. And the Torah introduces the Chatas. And the Pasuk gives you five different instances of a Chatas. And the progression is as follows. The first Chatas is Kohen Mashiach. And simply put, that's the Kohen Gadol, right? And the Kohen Gadol is Chayav Chatas, so he has to bring a Chatas. And the halach of the achatas is that the dam is bifnim, meaning it's in the heichal, and you sprinkle the blood out towards the parochas, right? And then you put the dam on the mizbeach hapnimi. So that's the first case. The second case is par helam davar. So par helam davar is when Sanhedrin makes a mistake in Horah. And people follow that, and obviously it's shogeg. Right, so the Sanhedrin, it's Canaan, they have to bring a korban, and that korban also is a korban that's bifnim. So in the Heichal, again, the same process, right? Sprinkling down towards the parochas and putting the dam on the mizbeach hapnimi. And then the third case that follows is the nasi. So now the nasi has to bring a korban. So when the Nasi brings a carbon, we get to the Mizbeach Hachitza, the regular Mizbeach that's outside. And then you get to all the other cases. Okay, now you're outside. Now you're at the regular Mizbeach, bringing your Chatas. So the Gemara asks the following question. The Gemara says like this. Tana Rabbana, El Yisod Mizbach Ha'ola, this is the first case by Kohen Mashiach. The Pasuk says that you should pour the leftover dam, El Yisod Mizbach Ha'ola, to the base of the Mizbach Ha'ola. So the Gemara says, Velo Yisod Mizbeach Hapnim. So the Gezeris HaKasov is, even though the Avoda is Bifnim, and you're using the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Mizbeach HaZav, if you want to call it that, right? Nevertheless, you need a Gezeris HaKasov to tell you that when you have leftover blood and you have to pour that blood, do something with that blood, you take it to the Mizbeach HaChitza. So, because I guess there's the Hadamim is that you'd be doing something with it Bifnim. So the question is, what's the Havamina and what's the Maskana here? And we're going to go through all three cases, and then we're going to come back. So now you get to the second case, and that case is the Kpar Helam Dabar. And again, the Pasuk says the same thing. El Yisod Mizbach Ha'ola. You should pour the dam on Yisod Mizbach Ha'ola, the leftover blood. So the Gemara has a problem. We already know the Halacha that when you have Dam Bifnim, the Avoda is Bifnim, that the blood goes, the leftover blood goes on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So why did the Pasuk have to repeat that it goes, you sold Mizbeach HaOla, by the way, right? So that's the question of the Gemara. And the Gemara says, Ein lo yiso l'pnimi atzmo. We learned from this that the Mizbeach HaPnimi, it didn't have Yisod. So while we said that there are at least three elements on Ma'akev, the Mizbeach, Hachitzon, you need Yisod, and you need the Kronos, and then you need it has to be a square. When it comes to Mizbeach HaPnimi, there's a Kasav now that there's no Yisod. So again, I'd like to understand the Havamin and what's the Maskana there in terms of Yisod. And then the third thing the Gemara says is like this. Now the Pasuk's repeated a third time by the Nasi. El Yisod Mizbach Ha'ola, Ten Yisod L'Mizbeach Sho'ola. So the Gemara says like this. Now we finally get to the case of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So it says again that you're going to dispose of it on the Yisod of the Mizbeach Ha'ola. Well, where else would you dispose of it? First of all, you're there. Second of all, you already know that if it's Bifnim, it goes to the Mizbeach Ha'ola. So surely it's going to go to the Mizbeach Ha'ola if it's Bachutz. So like to understand that as well. What? Flush it. So let's take the progression, and then we'll come back to your point. Okay. So let me just explain something about the Shiarei Hadam. So what happened with the Dam, and not everyone is so familiar with Kachin, but so I'll just step back briefly, is you started off with Shechita, where you literally slaughtered the animal. And immediately after Shechita, you had Kabbalah. So that was Kabbalah Saddam. Kabbalah Saddam needed a Kli Shares. So you Makabal the Dam. Then you have Halacha, where you take the Dam to the Mizbeach, and then you have Zrika. Zrika is sprinkling or putting the dam, matnas dam al hamizbeach. And really, for the kiyama korban is realized at Zrika. So there may be other halachos, it's supposed to be more, it's supposed to be go on to the mizbeach and be consumed. Maybe if it's a chatas, the kohen is supposed to eat it, the shlomim, the balim eat it, all these other halachos. But the kiyama korban emerges, right? So if something were to, the classic case is if you become a tame after Zrika, then it's not a problem, let's say. Or we say that dam nisal, the so once you complete that, you're okay. You have your kiyum hakorban. But now you have a case. Now the case is they didn't put a lot of dam on the mizbeach. So you had the shari adam, the leftover blood. So question is, what do you do with the leftover blood? So the Gemara is making one basic premise, that, and I think, and it's not like Moshe said, but thank you for that, and that is that the dam could not be discarded, meaning dam has to have a destination. You know, the dam's, it's mekudosh, literally, okay, and you just can't get rid of it. So the halachic system had to provide, in the system of mitzvah, had to provide the next step. What do you do with the shari adam? Now, you didn't always have shari adam. It's possible not. If you didn't have shari adam, it's no problem. You know, sometimes you might not have had it by Malik, but by other cases, just whatever reason. But if you, once you have dam, right, then there's a halach, you can't be discarded. It needs to have its destination. So having said that, I think we could start to understand and unpack the progression of the Gemara here. So the first Havamina was that you have the Avoda in the Bifnim, in the Heichal. So you think that the Shari Adam, with its destination, would be, I would say, the Makom Avoda, wherever the Avoda was, that's where it would be. So the Gezeiras HaKasav is that it goes outside. So I think the idea is that is in Mikdash is an objective makom for the Shari Adam. The Havmina was there's no objective makom. It's going to follow the Avoda. Where's the Avoda? And I'm not going to get into whether it's continuation of the Avoda or not. That's a possibility. But it follows the makom Avoda. The Maskana says it is an objective makom for the Shari Adam. And again, as Leslie pointed out, it seems you see that the Mizbeach seems to be structured in a way to actually facilitate that. It had the chutin and it had the whole pathway for the dam to go. So the starting point is you have an objective makom for the Shari Adam. But again, it kind of, you can still ask the question. And that is, well, is there anything about Yesod that makes it fitting to be this makom? Or was it really not relevant and we created a Yesod simply to have a makom for Shari Adam? The only problem is that it comes a little circular. Almost, if you want to say that there was no inherent place for it, but we had to do something with it, so we're now going to create a place for it, which really is only there for that purpose. So, but it would be nice to understand if there's a reason why the dam is going on to the yisod, not just as a functional idea. So,
what's the circular problem?
What? The circular problem is if you say dam needs a destination. And there's no real purpose to Yesod other than the fact that we had to create a destination, then you're creating a destination for its own sake. It doesn't have any inherent significance. No, it's fully, totally circular, but it sounds close to it. You're the logician. It needs a destination, and the destination, and we're going to create a destination, but the destination itself doesn't have any purpose other than being the destination. It just sounds what? Arbitrary. Maybe arbitrary is better. Thank you. It sounds arbitrary. So that's true. I think that's true, but it's still Sarachim. We need to understand that. So the second idea was, now we have the second pasuk, and we said that it teaches us that there's no yisod to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. You have a Mizbeach, right? Mizbeach HaZav. So you would think that this Mizbeach has yisod. Maskana is no yisod there. Any thoughts?
That leads you further into that idea that yisod is covered.
All right, well, we don't want to go there.
Right.
By the way, that may be the punchline this year.
So now you're putting it into a defined place. Putting it into a place of Kodesh. That's not for Kodesh.
So why would you say that there's Yesod for the Mizbeach HaPnimi? So Gersh is saying that you don't need a mitzvah for the Mizbeach HaPnimi. You already have a makom for the Dam. Like we said, it's outside. So why would you need a yisod for the Mizbeach HaPnimi? I mean, you're right. That the Havamina is a bigger question, just at face value than the Maskana.
Really, you're saying based on the Rambam, that's like Akiva Shem's death. Maybe you can just leave it for the Shem's death and connect the peace.
Right. So that's good. So the way we defined it was that according to the Havamina, there's a universal Surah of the Mizbeach. It's universal, it's objective. And that objective Mizbeach requires three things. Or why don't we have to the fourth, but we'll leave the Kevesh. That Mizbeach requires three things. It requires a Yisod, it requires Kronos, and it has to be square. That's the universal Mizbeach. Doesn't matter if it's Bifnim, if it's Bachutz, it might be bigger, it might be smaller, you might do different things on it, but there's a universal Surah of the Mizbeach. So that's the Havamina. So what's the Maskana? How is Zimmer? Doing very well. Yeah, switch seats. So I think the Maskana is that the halacha of Yisod is really particular to the Mizbeach Achitza. And that insofar as there is a universal Tzura of Mizbeach, the universal Tzura of Mizbeach is Kronos and the fact that it's square. You might want to say that maybe there is no universal Surah of Mizbeach, right? It's possible, but if you kind of look at the fact that they both Mizbechos share in those requirements, that they be square and they have Kronos, right? So it does seem that that is universal. But Yisod is not universal, which kind of brings us back to the question, right? What's different about Yisod that it's not universal? Because if you want to say that it's it almost, if you say that Yisod is essential for Mizbeach, then you could say like this, look, maybe there's a specific reason or function to Yisod by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, and maybe the Mizbeach HaPnimi doesn't share it, but if it's essential to the Tzura, it's essential to the Tzura, right? So now we're saying it's not essential to that universal, but now again, so it kind of, at the same time, as we pointed out before, it's Mahakeh. So Shiyare Hadam, this is the funny thing now, getting back to what we said before. Shiyare Hadam is not going to be ma'akev your kapara b'korban. It's not going to really be ma'akev your kiyama korban. So you have this thing where you have to dispose of the dam at the end of the day. I can't say dispose of it, as Moshe would say to me. The dam needs a destination. You can't discard the dam. So we set up this objective place for it. But if you're going to say it really has nothing to do with Mizbeach, then why is it, how's it going to be ma'akev the Mizbeach? It's like it comes later. So now you're going to tell me, oh, somehow or another, it is essential to Mizbeach. Well, okay, now we're back to just part of the Surah on Mizbeach. What about the Mizbeach HaPnimi?
Just maybe on that point, it's like the two different types of Mizbeach. It's not just one on the inside, one on the outside. But the one on the inside is the Mizbeach for Ketoros, for incense. The one on the outside is the Mizbeach Olah, like Karbanos. So it's like you only really put down on the Mizbeach HaPnimi and like, Ahas Vashana, Yom Kippur, you don't really, it's like you're not, like the Mizbeach HaOla on the outside is built for Kabbalah of animals and for blood. You know, so that, like, that's like why you need to, so that's the nature of the Mizbeach. Mizbeach throws it for incense. Only an isolated case would you ever get a par on it. Right?
Right.
So maybe you say that like the Shari Adam, it's a human Mizbeach itself. It's being like the Mizbeach HaOla. But like Kabbalah and Ola and Dam, it's like that's what it's used for. So it's, not necessarily
Mara,
the Kapara, the
Karbon,
but it's a
Kiyam
in the Mizbeach. That's a Mizbeach
Olam. Okay, so Rabbi Zimmer wants to say it's a Kiyam in the Mizbeach, and it's not relevant to the Mizbeach Bifnim because you didn't really have a Bodhisattva there. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's not a Mizbeach for animals, for Kabbalah, for Ketoros. It's not what it is.
So is this a practical thing? I mean, it's a kiyam in the Mizbeach that what? The Mizbeach has a makom.
Like that's what it's used for. That's
okay. We'll see. I think it's a good direction.
Doesn't the Rambam not seem like that? It just doesn't bear for the stuff.
For what?
For the fact that it's a makom.
Oh, no, this is talking about the Mizbeach HaChitza. this whole section of the Ram that we're talking about is talking about the Mizbeach HaChitza. Okay, so when he says it's Ma'akev, he's specifically referring to that.
Okay, this not repeat the Passover.
That's a good
point. Just like this.
Yes. So let's do a little Chazar. It's a good point to do Chazar. So the first question we asked was, we said that you have this idea that the Yisod has to be in the Nachla of Binyamin. The Mizbeach and Yisod has to be in the Nachla and Binyamin. And it gave an explanation that we had to demonstrate, we had to be manifest, that the Mikdash is not for one Sheva, but multiple wall of Klal Yisrael. So the question we asked is, was there a reason why the Yisod was used to demonstrate this idea? So that was the first question. The second question, which was a little bit of a side question, but was the interesting question about the Rambam, where he says you need three things that are going to be ma'akev. So you have the Yisod and the Kronos and the effect that it's square. But then he says you need four things, and he adds the ramp to Kevesh. So it's kind of an interesting question. Why does Rambam differentiate between the two? Then we went to these limudim about the Sherei Hadam. And the first thing, point was that there's an objective makom in the Mikdash for Shiarei Adam. So Dam needs a destination. Once you have Dam of a carbon, it can't be discarded. It needs a destination. And now there's a destination, and that destination is the Yisod. What we wanted to understand is there's something about Yisod that makes it appropriate to be this destination. It was just arbitrary that they needed something. Second point was that the Mizbeach HaPnimi did not have a Yisod. It didn't have a Yisod. If you imagine this bima, so that it just started on the floor. This bima actually has a little bit of Yisod, but it came straight up. And then you had the four horns on the top, four chronos. That was it. So, you know, if you think of the old Empire State Building where it's water on the bottom and arrows on the top, right, or a skyscraper, you didn't have that by the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Okay. What? That was, we know what happened to that. Yes. I hope not. So now what we're saying is that there's a difference that in terms of the Tzura, that there's an objective, universal Tzura of Mizbeach seems to be that it's really Revuah and Kronos. And the Yisod is really a unique halacha just to the Mizbeach HaChitza. But wanted to see if we could maybe understand that a little bit better, because it's Ma'akev. So is it? It seems that it's more than just a place to put the Dam. But maybe it isn't. Maybe it's Kim in the Mizbeach, as Rabbi Zimmel wants to say, that there is a place for the Dam. Again, you know, the Dam is really post-carbon, so it's kind of a little funny that you'd have a place like that. Not that you'd have a place like that, but now it's going to be Ma'akev. Even if this Dam is really the purpose of the Mizbeach.
I think what's coming is that it's not really post-carbon. It's still connected to the carbon. That's why he's the Mizbeach itself. So, you took it off the bay on the original house, and it would look like, then it would look like you're just referring to that. It was just made it stop. So the fact that you keep it on the bay, that's what makes it like connect.
So, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Orin.
What, Orin?
Yeah.
So Orin wants to say that maybe the Sherei Adam is somehow another continuation of the Zrika. So it's a possibility. There are two reasons why you won't say that. The first reason is that if it was a continuation of the Zrika, then in the very first case, where by the Kohen Mashiach, when you do the Avodah Stam Bifnim, and we're told that, guess what, when you get to Sherei Adam, you have to go Bachos. So if it was a continuation of the Zrika, it would be extremely strange that the Zrika is going to be and start in one Mizbeach and end off with another Mizbeach. I don't know if you could really
say the Avodah.
Right, so Aaron wanted to say that maybe it's a continuation of the Avodah somehow or another, but that would be really, really... I don't know if it's possible, but that would be really, really strange.
The problem
what?
The problem is that it's not Ma'akev to keep a korban, because right. When you did this Zrika, you're done.
Right. And then as Moshe points out, you know, I mean, you could still say it's Kiyam, but it's not going to be Ma'akev. It's It's very hard to say that. But the next line in the Gemara, I think, is going to show us a little further problem with that. Okay. It's definitely a possibility that you kind of need to go through when you logically develop the idea that maybe it is. But it seems that it's not.
See also this with Parsha, if Kohen Gadol spills the dam, if he does the Zulika on Zveyah, so even though he didn't pour any soap, then keep him off.
Sorry, repeat that again.
If the Kohen Gadol spills the dam and he doesn't get to pour it on the soap, if he gets the Zulika, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So you can't say the Parsha.
Right.
The one I'm talking about, the market, the reading for, he was only talking about the bath outside.
Yes.
Just that, no others in the world, just that. So it could be that the Sillings said before, the purpose was to join the two shlokim together. So that part of the idea of that bath, that was built into it.
Right, but we're at, the question is the, if you want to say that the purpose of the yesod is just only there to demonstrate this, then how does it market? How does it become a part of the mizbeach per se? And you see, you have Sher Adam. There are other the other purposes to the yesod. The question we asked is, in fact, we asked just the opposite. We said you have a part of the mizbeach. That's the Akeb. It's an essential part of the mizbeach. But it would be nice to understand, is there a reason why this part of the mizbeach was chosen to demonstrate that idea? I wouldn't say that it was that the purpose of the yesod is there just for that idea. Say just the opposite. We're using a part of the mizbeach to demonstrate an idea by its presence and or absence.
Naftali, can I make a suggestion?
Yes, Robertson Wolf.
We know that the Rambam in Vayikra explains that part of the reason that we disperse the blood is to negate, because the in Mitzrayim, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah believed in gathering the blood and believed that it was a life force, and it became an object of Avodah Zarah. So is it possible that the Yesod is demonstrating a certain negation regarding the blood, which is not appropriate to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, because that expresses the universal idea that has to be a certain positive concept, but there's a certain negation of Avodah Zarah that must be part of the Avodah and must be expressed somewhere in the Tzura of the Mizbeach. And that's in terms of the process that takes the Shiarei HaBlood, HaDam, away and gives it a destination.
Right. So it's a good point that my older sister's making. And
how much older?
I gotta stop while I'm ahead, you know. So I definitely believe that part of the philosophy of the fact that the dam has to have a destination and cannot be discarded is based on that. You know, the Rambam discusses it extensively, the Ramban as well. But I'd also like to say, we're going to come back to the Hashkafa, because it wouldn't be a Sunday shiur if we couldn't get some nice Hashkafa in here. But I also want to see if we can maybe understand this question at a halachic level as well. So, Toby, we'll come back to your idea.
What was the
Well, Rabbi Zimmer's explaining why you would. He's giving an explanation of why you would say that. In a certain sense, it makes sense that you would have yesod specifically for the mizbeach hachitza, because that's primarily where, you know, except for the couple of cases we did here in Achas Peshana, right? That's where you ended up with the Sherei Adam. Then he wants to go further and saying having a place for that is a key in the Mizbeach, right? It's a possibility.
But doesn't answer what?
Doesn't kind of answer all these questions. I don't know if it necessarily gives us a complete insight into to the nature of Yisod. What? You know, Rabbi Zim is trying to help me with audience participation here, so he kind of throws a few lines out here, and thank you.
Ariel is awesome.
What? Ariel, I'm paying. So, okay. So now, just check my notes for a second. So I think there's really one more question that I want to ask at this point. And it has to do with this whole concept of the Yisod being Ma'akev. And now that we establish that the Yisod, for some reason or another, is a halacha specifically to the Mizbeach HaChitzon, right? There's a question that I think needs to be asked here. And this question that Moshe first brought up. And he made an observation. And he said, it seems a little strange that you're going to tell me that Yisod is an essential part of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, but Yisod, the halacha of Yisod is not brought up in Parshas Truma by the Parsha of the Mizbeach. So the Parsha in Truma tells you about the Kronos, and it tells you that it has to be square, right? But the same thing for the Mizbeach HaPnimi, right? But now all of a sudden, this idea of Yisod is being introduced in Vayikra. So it's something that requires understanding. Okay? You know, on one hand, it's hard to always ask, well, why did the Torah put it here and not put it there? I mean, I had to put it somewhere, right? But if we're going to say, like the Rambam says, that Yisod is Ma'akev, right? Then and here we have a Gezeiras HaKasav, so it's a strange place to put the Gezeiras HaKasav. I mean, someone asked a different question. They said it's funny. The first Gezeiras HaKasav is that the Dam Bifnim goes to the Yisod B'chutz, but you don't even know the halacha of Yisod B'chutz. Okay, but that's a little bit of a question. It's the same area, it was all given up at the same time, but you have three psukim and three consecutive parshios. This is the first encounter with the Mizbeach HaChitzon, so that's why the primary halacha was put there. So you can ask the question, but that's you can answer the question. But now we're taking this seems to be a much more fundamental question. This is an essential part of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, right? And fine, it's different from the Mizbeach HaZahav. Right, but it's a very strange place for it to showing up here in Vayikra.
Also, the Kedesh doesn't say it's
also not. Kedesh is even more complicated, right? But and we're gonna answer the Kedesh question. But you know, at least you see the Rambam separated Kedesh out a little bit, so he didn't treat Kedesh in the same category as he treated Yisod and the Kronos and the fact that it had to be square, right? But yes, Kedesh is also clearly different. But here, specifically about the Yisod, it just seems strange. They're both strange, but this in particular is, I think, a strong question. Yeah, there's no tzivu to make a Kedesh. Kevish is referred to twice, and then Gemara learns out that if it's mentioned, it's Ma'akev. It's a strange leaning for the Kevish.
By the Kronos. So those are the halachos in
right, so we said that it's not part of the universal structure of Mizbeach. So right. Then what is it?
Right. But there's also the Kevesh, for example. I mean, that's all of the Kedushas Kohen. Of course, we'll also have the models of Mizbeach.
Well, that's a possibility, but that's a separate law. The Ram brings this down separately. It's not clear that the halacha of Kedush is just automatically the flip side of the the fact that the kevesh is, meaning if you're going to have access, you can't have steps. The fact that the kevesh is marking, it's not clear that that's just the flip side of that.
Rocky doesn't want to have steps.
Right. Alpine, right. That's very good. That's right. It's alpine. It's not, so, I mean, Mayer's point is that it's different. But I think, again, so, yes, you're going to say that apparently that the Chumash was talking about the universal, for some reason, was talking about the universal Surah of Mizbeach, right, which really only partakes of Rebuah and the Kronos. But again, it's a question. Just what does it tell us about Yisod and what's Yisod and that Yisod is doing here? So I want to go a little further in the Gemara, and then we can start to hopefully answer these questions. So now the Gemara asks a strange question. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, maybe the third pasuk isn't teaching you that you need a yisod. It says, O eina ela mizbecho shel ola, yehei li yisod. So Rashi says like this. He says, I'm going to paraphrase, O eina ba lulamit klomal shepicha shirayim shel ola v'shel shar dam. I mean, it's not teaching you that the reason you have the yisod and the purpose of the yisod is for the shepicha shirayim of the Ola and the other blood. It's not the Shiari Adam. Ela bo lelamed al hilchos hamizbech b'matan dama shel Ola. But it's teaching you a primary halacha of the placing of the blood for the Ola. She'itein shite matnoseha kineged hayisod. That the matanos hadam, the placement of the dam, had to be kineged hayisod, on a corner where there was a yisod. To exclude the southeast corner that did not have yisod, could they bring them behind Kirkin? So there's a halacha now that when it comes to the matnastam, so a little background here in Kachim, the chatas, the dam of the chatas went on the kronos. So all the way on top, and it was matan dam on the kronos. The Zrika for the rest of the Korbanos was on basically the corner of the Mizbeach, corners of the sides of the Mizbeach. So again, if we're back here, you'd have here, or you wouldn't have here. This is the corner you couldn't do, but you'd have those two corners. Okay. And so, for example, by the Ola, so the Gemara asked the question, we learned a lot of halachas of Ola from Chatas. So the Gemara asked the question and says, well, the by Ola is you have two sprinklings of blood, Shtayim Shehem Arba. So when you sprinkle Dam on the corner, you're hitting two sides with one Matan Dam. So you do one over there, and then you get all four sides of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara said, asked the question, well, why don't you have four Matanos of Dam, just like you have by the Chatas? So the Gemara answers, because you need Yisod, and there's no Yisod. So the halacha was that you couldn't put dam on a corner of the mizbeach where there was no yisod below it. So this raises... let's take this corner over here. This corner had a full yisod on the north side, and it had one amma on the east side. One amma. Yes. So that corner now has yisod because you have the yisod like this.
You have the yisod on
everything. No, but this corner did not have yisod because you only had an amma over here and you only had an amma on the south west side.
The round held that you didn't. It was only on the east.
No, you have the amma. Ram says you had an amma. It goes out an amma.
It goes out an amma.
Seems like in this picture he has it. So, no, the shot is it went at an amma. It did, because the other side was a full yisod. That's what he said. The full yisod is on the north side, and then it intersperses an amma.
So there's some yisod on all four
sides. If not, we'll learn it according to Rashi, okay?
According to Rashi, he's saying it's yisod on all four sides.
No, there's three corners have a yisod.
Right, and then
the fourth corner does not have a yisod.
Right, but the side, both sides to which that
yes, according to Rashi, there's an element of yisod on all four sides. Yes. So Moshe, if we're talking about sukkah and chitzos and defanos, you start to say, well, you know, it extends. You conjure up a mechitzos type of structure, and so you could say that. You would say that you had something there. But the question is like this: I mean, you need what?
It's written on Panimi.
Certainly,
don't have
yisod. Yeah, there's no yisod. There is no yisod on the Panimi. There is no yisod. Yes, this is halacha outside. Mayor, I think he says the ochel bedrom ama achas, the mizrach ama achas. So I'm not maybe you have a different. There's a nice picture here, so I'm not sure. You'll show me later what you're talking about. So you know the question is: does this mizbeach have yisod or does it not have yisod? So you tell me it has a yisod, and whatever the qualifications are that it is, in certain areas it's a full yisod, in certain areas it's nama, it has a yisod. So now what's this halacha that the dam has to be above the yisod? The mizbeach has a yisod. So, and this is a halacha. So the Gemara asks the question, you know, maybe we learn this out from the Gezeres HaKasam. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shema, Kal v'chomer. It's a Kal v'chomer. What's the Kal v'chomer? Mashi Rayim She'ein Mechaperim Tunin Yisod. The Shiari Adam that is not Mechaper. Okay? Oren's question about whether this was a continuation or not. The Dam, it's not Mechaper. You're done. I mean, there's certain things that are Mechaper afterwards. It's a Kiyim Kapar, okay? But you're done. It's not Mechaper. So you require Yisod. Olo Shemechaperas Ain adin shetuni yisod. So now we have an ola that is mechaper. So yes. What?
Chilas
ola. Good point. Chilas ola. That's mechaper, right? Which I think is referring to the zrika. Okay. Requires a yisod. So that was Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva has a very similar Kal v'chomer. There's a little bit more to it, and we'll stick with Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah. Okay. So I think there are a couple of questions. Any questions on this Kal v'chomer? Again, the Shiari Adam that's not Mechaper requires Yisod. So the Tfilah Sola, the Zrika, which is Mechaper, surely requires Yisod.
Where is the Yisod?
What?
Then make sure it gets there. Zrika is going to dry up on the sides of the wall and it might not come down. Leave that chance, something like that.
That's fine. You don't have a problem with that one. Well, so I think there are a few questions here. The first is, what is the idea of Ola Mechaperas? We don't usually think of an Ola as being Mechaper. I mean, and, you know, I think personally a better Kal v'chomer would have been to not refer to Kapara, but to Zrika. So you'd say, Shiari Adam is nothing, right, in terms of the Kiyama carbon, right? And you need Yisod, so there's Rika, which is the essence of the carbon. So why is the Gemara introducing this idea of Kapara? There are specific situations, okay? That's a possibility. That was a question. The question is this referring to the universal Ola, right? Or is it talking about any Ola? Possibility. I think there's a more fundamental question here in terms of the structure of a Kal v'chomer. So how does a Kal v'chomer work? We take an idea, not just a fact, but we take an idea and we say if it exists in a Kal situation, then surely it exists in a Chomer situation. So one example, let's say from Torah, is Moshe says to God, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai ve'eich yishma'eni far v'anyar al-sifosai. So Moshe says to God, I'm the Navi. I'm supposed to communicate the Devar Hashem and to convince the people that they should be Shomer, they should be Mekabel of Devar Hashem. So I went to the Bnei Yisrael and they weren't Mekabel from me. So I'm not an effective Navi. I'm not an effective communicator. So if I can't be effective and fulfill my purpose with respect to my own people, So, which is the Kal case, how am I going to be effective with Paro, who's the enemy, right? And he's going to be even more less inclined. But the point is, we're not just learning an arbitrary fact, right? It's like saying, Naftali doesn't usually give shir, and he's wearing pink socks. So Rabbi Feder, who gives shir a lot, surely he should wear pink socks. Maze Eitzel Zeh. That's not how a kavachoma works. There's another case in a little difficult case, but they want to say in the Gemara and Beitza that there are certain shbusim, the Rabbanim, that were instituted on Yantif. And the Mishnah says, so if they were instituted in Yantif, Kal v'chomer on Shabbos. Well, that makes sense. Yantif, Malach is a lav, and the Rabbanim saw fit to institute a shbus to protect the institution, Midaraisa. So surely on Shabbos, when you have a chiv misa, so that the Rabbanim are going to have that institution to protect the system of Malacha. But here, what does Shari Adam have to do with Zrika? That's the question. And we're proceeding along the assumption, as we said before, that really Shari Adam is not the conclusion of Zrika. So to me, I think that's an important question here in terms of understanding the Kal v'chomer.
The Sheridan, that is the monk's Sheridan.
What?
Like the Makom of the Sheridan is the Yisod.
Is the Yisod.
Makom of the Trikot.
So that's the right. Wolf. It's so the like wolf.
I learned from there. Like that's a different idea of telling you. So.
Right. It's a totally different idea of the Yisod. It's not exactly. It's not just an extension of a common idea and saying because it applies here, then it applies. It's a totally different idea.
But by that logic, you should have to, those point of view, you should have to actually sprinkle blood on the Yisod.
That's right. That was Moshe's point.
No, you saw it was a different meaning. It's like it sounds well. It sounds like, you know. But Zoza needs a doorpost, so Abbas Hashem needs a doorpost.
Right. So one more Rambam, and maybe we can tie this together. Moshe, am I doing all right so far? Listen, the thing I know about Moshe is, you know, he's going to speak his mind and it has to be right. So thank you.
Excellent.
You're not done yet. You can still blow it. Okay, so this is a famous Rambam. I don't have to say anything more, right? It's the first Rambam, Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph of Beis HaBechira. Got it, Rabbi Zimmer?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to read it out loud, Balpe? Thank you. Hamizbeach mikomo mechuvan biyoser. The makom mizbeach is mechuvan. It's very specific. You say the emishan also mimkomo lo'olam, and never change it. Shenemar v'zeh mizbeach lo'olam liyisrael. Uva mikdash ne'akad Yitzchak Avinu, and Yitzchak Avinu was ne'akad. The akedah was in the mikdash. Shenemar lechucha l'eretz amoria. The Namar B'divrei Yamim by Chal Shalom Alivnos Space Hashem Yerushalayim Bahar Omir Har Moria Asher Nira LeDavid Avihu Asher Heichen B'Makom David B'Goran Arnon Hayivusi. So there's a Mar Nevuah. This is a very specific place. And the Rambam goes further. He says in Mursaris Biad Hakol we have a Mesorah in the hands of everyone. Shehamakom Shebanu Bo David Ushlomo Hamizbeach B'Goran Arona. The place where David and Shlomo built the Mizbeach, Hu HaMakom Shebanabo Avram HaMizbeach. That is the Makom HaMizbeach that Avram built. The Akar Alav Yitzchak, and we have the Akedas Yitzchak. The Hu HaMakom Shebanabo Noach, and this is the place where Noach built the Mizbeach. Kishe Yatzam in a Teva, when he left the Teva. The Hu HaMizbeach Shehikrab Alav Kain on Hevel. That was the same Mizbeach that Kain and Hevel. Or Makrivan. I'm not sure if the Mizbeach was destroyed or not in the Mabul. It was just the Makom, but it's clearly the same Makom HaMizbeach. Uvo Hikriv Adam Arishon Kishin Nivra Karban. And when Adam Arishon was created, that's where Adam brought a Karban. Misham Nivra. And from there he was created. Amru Chachamim Adam Mimakom Kaparoso Nivra. Our Chachamim said, man, from the place of his kapara, he was created. And just one other point in the Rambam here. It says, V'shloshim neviim olu imohem in hagolo, when they were olu mibavel, going before Bayis Sheni, echad, three neviim went with them, echad heilehem al makom hamizbeach. So somebody was actually made on the makom hamizbeach. Not quite sure what made means. Was it a Masorah that they had, or how the Navi knew, but that's a different point. Okay, but the point of the Rambam is that there's a makom for the Mizbeach. And there are two points here. One is that there's a specific makom for the Mizbeach, and it's Adami makom kaparaso nefra. So first I was debating whether to start with the philosophy of the halacha, but I'll finish the halacha first. Okay, so I think when the Rambam is talking about the makom hamizbeach and adam imakom kaparaso nivra, he's not talking about just the philosophical idea of a makom kapara, makom hamizbeach, and a makom kapara. What the Rambam is telling you is that that the mizbeach has to be defined as a makom kapara. Simply having a structure, a binyan, where you can be makrif kabanos, right? Even if you're chayv in kabanos, that's not what makes it a makom kapara. The mizbeach needs to be defined as a makom kapara. And so we wanted to say is that that is the role of the yisod. The yisod, just if you look at it physically, it seems to be the part of the mizbeach that connects it or attaches it to the ground. That's almost like a physical yisod. But I want to say that halachically, what the Yisod does is that Yisod defines this as a makom kapara. And with that, and it's, by the way, it's a machloka. We're not even getting to that. So that's the idea of Yisod. Without a Yisod, right, at least for the Mizbeach Achitza, if you simply had the Tzadim and it was squared and you had the Kronos, you'd have the universal Tzur of the Mizbeach, but you wouldn't have a Mizbeach, which is a makom kapara.
How does the Yisod do that?
What?
Because the yisod
in the mikdash, it defines the space. This is the base of it. Defines the space, and it relates it to. It's almost somewhat philosophical, but it relates it to makom kaparaso. That's what it is. Because remember, I mean, you had a mizbeach for 40 years in the midbar, and another 400 something years, right? And you had Shiloh, and you had all of that. So we're talking the idea, okay? Because I would maintain that even in Shiloh, you had yisod. I mean, it wasn't just here, but from ideationally, it relates the mizbeach to the adama. That's what it does. This is the part of the mizbeach that relates to the Adama. And the Adama is Adam Imakom Kaparaso Nivra. So halachically, we're saying that this defines it as a Makom Kapara. And I'd say, yeah, if you're in Shiloh, it's still a Makom Kapara. And when I get into involved with the question of the Bama Tzibur and what you can bring with Fatis and all of that and the Karpanos, but I'm not sure how that would work out, but you could still say if you require the Yisod, then it's the Yisod. The Yisod is the structure which defines it as a Makom. So maybe that explains the question. We can start explaining some of the questions now about the nature of yisod. I'm not going in any specific order. So if I leave it out, say something, please.
Can I ask a question? Is it because it delineates the makom or not? It's just like the ground.
I don't know. Not sure. I would originally have said because it's somewhat the grounding of it, but it could be the delineate. What do you think?
It's a delineation.
What?
Otherwise, you never have it except it's
out. Well, except we're separating out the halach from the philosophy. So this is really in the ultimate mizbeach in the base of Laman. This is where it's going to be and this is how it's going to function. So it was incorporated. So that's the nature. That's the nature of the structure. Okay, that's what I'm saying. The nature of the structure defines this as a makom kapara. What do you want to say? Because it delineates it,
You're saying it's like it's a foundation. Like
it's a foundation, but it's not a physical foundation. It's not a foundation. Its purpose isn't physical. And this leads into the next point. So the Torah in Parshas Truma in Sefer Shmos is talking about the physical. And this is, I think, what you were saying, Moshe. Okay, but the Torah was talking about the physical structure of Mizbeach. And when you speak about the physical structure of Mizbeach, the physical structure of Mizbeach is the fact that it has to be square and you need the Kronos. So that's the physical structure of Mizbeach. That's what it's talking about. There's a universal physical structure of Mizbeach. But the idea of Yesod is an idea that it's a Makom Kapara. It defines a Mizbeach as a Makom Kapara. So the Torah introduced that actually in the Parsha of Chatas. These are all the Parshas of Chatas. But now we're in Vayikra and we're addressing the Avoda, which is Machaper. So that's why it's that Torah viewed that as being more appropriate place to introduce this idea. But it's not part of the physical structure. It's not a key in the physical structure.
Are you saying this also because it's
in Ritzvah?
It's what?
The fact
that it's considered like Ritzvah.
Ritzvah? The four. What do you mean?
Is
that a din Ritzvah?
I mean, it does have it now.
Okay. So does that fit in? I'm not taking up the din Ritzvah. Okay. If you can tell me that it explains.
I don't know what you're saying. So does what?
What?
I was wondering if you're saying that some of the book gives
it. You can't have a pop-up Mizbeach. It has to be, the Mizbeach has to be, the space of the Mizbeach has to be delineated. It's part of this, that this is a Makom Kapara.
I'm saying that is, this is the nature of the institution of Yesod is to define this as a Makom Kapara. Okay? Exactly how it does that, right? Whether it's delineation, whether it's because of its connection, there's clearly an ideational. It's clearly an ideational link, okay?
Why does it define it as anything more than the place of the Mizbeach? Like, how do you link in Kapara to it?
That's what I'm positing, okay? That's what I'm positing. We're going to see, because that's a good question. So that's a really good question. But now I think, so let's just take this stepwise. Thank you, Donnie. So the first question I wanted to explain is why is it here and not over there? Okay, so now we'll jump ahead. So one of our questions was that, so maybe now we can understand the Kal Vachomer a little better. Okay, so if the original question was one thing has nothing to do with the other. In fact, Ellie suggests the opposite, right? The Kapara is over. But now if you look at the Kal Vachomer is saying like this. If for Shiare Hadam, and I'm not going to necessarily define it, but I'm going to lay out the logic of it. If Shiare Hadam, which is not Mechaper, requires a Makom Kapara, so there's the Tchila Sola, the Zerika, which is Mechaper, surely it requires a Makom Kapara. So now there's a logical flow to the Kal Vachomer, because for that very reason, the Yesod Yishare Adam requires a Makom Kapara, and that's nothing, almost nothing, right? So now we see the logic and the flow of the Kal Vachomer.
Are the other sides of the bed right now Makom Kapara?
So that's a machlokas. Okay, the machlokas is whether that's the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. They have two slightly different versions of the Kal Vachomer. And the Gemara ultimately concludes that the question is it are you going to be yotze or not, or is it going to be ma'ake? Okay, that's the other halacha of the Zrikas Da.
But I mean, the
machlokas
kapara is bad, presumably not just the outer edge, but it's also the whole is bad. Right.
Yeah, but does the Mises read, or does that have any evidence in the Mises read? In other words, does it have to be clear that that is the Makom Kapara in the Mises read? So even though, yes, it's true, you're right, that the whole square is definitely the Makom Kapara, but the Mises, it's you're lacking the Mises read according to one.
So defines the entire Mises as being the Makom Kapara, or just certain episodes?
So it would seem that if you hold that it's going to be ma'akev and you really can't do the matan dam there, then it would seem that this corner, okay, the southeast corner is not defined or is lacking its definition as a makom kapara.
But can you just say it's lacking my street? Like it goes so far.
because this was the Kal V'Chomer, because the whole point of the Kal V'Chomer is that it requires a makom. This is the limud. This is the specific limud that you don't have matan dam on that corner.
Right.
So what would be the flow? This isn't the Sharia Dam. There is no place for the Sharia. There is no. This is the Zrika we're talking about.
I understand. But Zrika is a California.
Sharia Dam.
So California is it. Since you can't even afford the Sharia Dam, even in the place where the Yisod would be, but on the corner it doesn't have the Yisod, it's a California, you can't do the Zrika.
Right. I don't know. Right, California. I don't know. You want to say something from the Mises Rika?
Is there any?
Maybe. Could be, but I just want to, again, I'm going to take the question. I just want to show that why this idea is, it's really the idea that starts to pull the whole thing together and make sense.
Just curious, is there any indication about whether rational mom and motivation is bad that wants to be a lot of us? There's those way inside the borders. They could have you sort of all the way around that. Yes, one was bad.
Moshe.
And Tom. This is by saying that actually.
Is it? Okay. What? No, I don't think so.
What?
Do you sell
it? No.
Okay.
Hold on a second. Ron brings it down.
What about you sell?
Right. So you're saying that the 32 Am on the Mizbeach was only by the Bnei Agola.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what's your question?
I don't know
what would be. Right. So I don't know what, because the Gemara. It's a good question. I mean, the Gemara isn't machalik between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni at all, right? And it brings down this basic halacha, right? She says it's a halacha neola, shtei matanos, shema. But why not? Because you didn't have your son. Why didn't you have a son? It wasn't the chelik of Torah, right?
It must have been the first one was like this on the border, and then the second one was like this. But either way, this corner that we're shaped, where Binyamin and Yehuda met, was the same.
Right, but Meir's saying that you didn't have that phenomenon bias Rishon. Is that what you're saying? So,
if you pulled it back, if you started on this corner, then
if I had center, it'd be the same place. I mean, I could be wrong, but I thought it was centered in the same location.
He's saying mathematically, geometrically, right. If the center of the Mizbeach has to be in the Makom HaMizbeach, other than Makom Kaparoso Nivra, and you have a smaller Mizbeach, then by definition, right, you're going to tell me that there was one Amma, right? So by definition, right, you're now not going to be in the Chelek of Yehuda, you're going to be in the Chelek of Binyama. Okay. Good question.
Once you have the halakha of Karakayas, telling the Makom Kapara, why do you need, I don't understand your facility right now. In other words, what additional thing is telling the Makom Kapara is why these vents and that halakha was Kapua? So what do you need with Kavias of Yisod? What's the super great thing? Or is that just reflecting this idea?
That is the halakhic part of the structure that gives it. I mean, if you just read this, I'll put it this way, until we started developing this year, this is a nice philosophical idea. That's what it was. And it is
more here.
Right? So the Ram's telling you, so I'm saying that the Ram is establishing that this is a halachic idea of Makom Kapara, right?
But there's more than that, because you're only mentioning one idea about Makom Kapara, so that's a philosophical idea. It's also relating to location of certain events.
Yes, and of many events, multiple events.
Multiple events, got right. It. But that is gaining that status of Makom Kapara because of the events taking place at that moment.
application.
Yes.
So what are you adding by saying we sell?
What we're adding is saying that what makes it part of the tzura of Mizbeach is that it has it's the tzura of the yesod is what establishes it on the Adama. So what we're saying is that the Mizbeach itself has a component to it, right, which relates it to that. The mere fact that it's physically there. Your question, I guess, is, well, guess what? Drop the Mizbeach on this Makom, and now it's in the Makom Kapara.
No, I wouldn't present the question. I would say that because of a certain event that occurred on this place, it's like a person who has a nace that occurs in a certain location, he's included to make way for when he comes across that location. Because the significance of the location, the Makom Kaparoso, the significance because of the events that occurred on that place. If you want to tell me that you take this philosophical idea and put it into a halachic structure, and that's the so fine. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. No, that's exactly what we're saying. The structure of Mizbeach, right, requires that it reflect this idea itself. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying. This is the Salacha in the structure of Mizbeach.
It's two different things. By the place that is Sasha, because Avram Yitzhak. Then it's just the Yisodas from leaving instead of the Makom. But you're saying by Shiloh and the Midbar, that's the Yisodas what's defining it as Makom.
No, either way.
No, what I'm saying is that it's possible to say that once the that there's a philosophical idea here, okay, but once the Tzura of the Mizbeach was established, right, then it's going to exist wherever you have a Mizbeach. That's part of this universal Mizbeach. Okay? In order for it to have a Mizbeach, it's going to be a Makom Kapara, right? Because that would be, I mean, I think that's a good case, though, because now you say, oh, if you need Makom Kapara, so how can I have Kapara and Shiloh? You could flip it around the other way. What do you mean? How can I have that? So that's the whole point, right? So it's incorporated into the structure of Mizbeach to define it that way as a Makom Kapara. That's why you could have it in other places.
If you just had a Mizbeach without a Yisod on that location, then you have a nice philosophy.
Yes.
That's it. That's the difference. That's why you need a Yisod.
Right.
Yisod is a halakha.
Can I just clarify what they're saying? So Howard asked, what is the essential function of the Yisod? So you say the essential function is to establish this Makom, and then now that, since this is the thing that has established this Makom, now we will do things like Sripa on that Makom. But the essential function really is the establishment of this place. And then other things will follow from that, like the Sripa Adam.
No, I think it's defining the I don't know if I'd say it that way, because you're kind of separating Makom from this Mizbeach.
Okay.
I think it's defining the Mizbeach as a Makom Kapara.
Okay.
Makom, not necessarily just in the physical sense of geographic space, but as an entity. I say Makom, it's not quite Hefza, but it's using the term Makom.
And that's like the essential function.
So. That's the essential nature of Hefza. Okay. So.
Even if you say that it defines the whole Mizbeach, still say that the component, what you're saying, is that the street has to be on the part of his death which defines it as him.
Yes. Yes, that's how you can learn that.
In a way, whether you say the whole thing is on the part or it's
right.
Either way, the component is.
Right, the component. Exactly.
It's like the point is that so it's essential to the din of Kapara is borne out by the component.
Right. So, a couple of other questions that I want to answer first, okay? So one question was, Meir threw a wrench not into the question, but into the bias rishon bias sheni thing. So the question was, is there a particular reason why the Yisod was chosen to reflect this idea that the Mikdash is in the Nachal of two Shvatim? So I think we understand that the nature of the Yisod is to define Makom. This defining of the Makom, so we can understand that that's the point that it's showing. It's showing that now we're going to switch to Makom in terms of physical Makom and Nachala. So you have the Nachala of the Makom of Yehuda and the Nachala of the Makom of Binyamin inside this building. So that halachic structure whose purpose is to define the Mizbeach as a Malkum Kapara, right? So that was, it's logical now that that be used, that that be the vehicle to highlight and demonstrate other concepts of, when you use generic Malkum, within the context of Mikdash. So that, I think that flows. All right.
Why is this a body?
Because you're lacking in Malkum Kapara now. Now you bring your Korban and you need a Kapara and you don't have a Kapara. So this is, I think, the point. And this is where I think the point is. So we asked the question of what does it mean Olam HaKaparas? So Rabbi Zimmer wanted to say, well, you know, Olam can be Mechaper, etc. But we were learning this. And I think that every korban is mechaper. I think you have two types of kapara. You have a korban where you have a chiyuv kapara, and so the mechayev for the korban is kapara, right? And in our classic case, that's chatas, but it could be a chayev to bring an ol or something. But then I would say you have a korban where you have a kiyum kapara, where the and it's the tchilas korban, by the way. So the havas korban, the zrika, already effectuates the kiyum kapara in the person. And I want to come back to Adam and Makom Kapara so never why that might be the case. But we're positing, at least as a possibility, that every korban that a person brings, there's going to be a kapara, even if he's not chayiv in kapara. You know, just as a side point, you know, there and kapara is a little complicated. Like the Rav said when he spoke about kapara on Yom HaKippurim for Avonos. So the kapara for Avonos is really that you chai ben onish. So you know, you got to pay. You did something wrong. So we ask for mechila and sicha, and ultimately what kapara is that's being waived. Okay, so here this is a little different, and maybe we'll get to what that is. The other point, though, that I want to bring up, Moshe, what's next? In terms of the kapara idea before we go to the philosophy. So we'll come back. So I want to talk about the kevesh for a second. I want to talk to Ram when he differentiates between the kevesh, the ramp, and the other three. So what we've said so far is like this. Really, there are two requirements so far in when we speak about the tzura of Mizbeach. Okay, there's a physical requirements, which are the ruach and chronos, and then the Mizbeach HaChitzon has a separate requirement that it be defined as a makom kapara. So, but what's the kevesh? So, we're taking an approach that is somewhat along the lines where I think Moshe wanted to go. There is no halacha that the physical mizbeach requires kevesh. Kevesh is separate; it's a separate entity from mizbeach. Okay, but the mizbeach requires kevesh. Kevesh is not part of Mizbeach, but Mizbeach requires Kevesh. Why does Mizbeach require Kevesh? Because the Mizbeach has to be accessible for Avod. You need that it has to be accessible. If you have a Mizbeach, right, and remember, your Mizbeach was 10 amos high, if you can't get to the Gog of the Mizbeach, you can't do the Avodah. So the nature of the Mizbeach is that it has to be accessible. You have to be able to do the Avodah. So the requirement of Kevesh is not that the kevesh is part of the mizbeach, but mizbeach requires kevesh because the mizbeach has to be accessible. What? I don't think so. What? I don't know, but you could say that about anything in Mikdash.
No, I don't know.
I don't know. But what I'm saying is that it's not. That is not the basic physical requirements of Mizbeach. The Mizbeach requires Kevesh. It's not that Kevesh is a part of Mizbeach. And that idea of accessibility, the Mizbeach has to be accessible, that answers another question, right? But maybe it seemed obvious. There's no Kevesh on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. So you say, oh, why? Right? I mean, it's so small, right? What do you mean? No, it's 2.5 amos high or whatever it is. Why would I need a Kevesh? Well, that's exactly the point. It's not the halach and the kevesh per se, it's halach and the mizbeach. So it's the mizbeach. The mizbeach has to be accessible. And so the mizbeach chitzon requires kevesh, but it's not that kevesh is actually part of the opinion of mizbeach.
Was it the chuppah?
consolidates the goal of the Kavash
what we're saying is that it's an idea in it's a halachic idea in the mizbeach that the mizbeach has to be set up for avodah, capable of having avodah performed on it, right? But Moshe was saying that it's a kiyum in the mizbeach, right? It's not a kiyum in the kevesh. That's what he meant, I think, right? The mizbeach has to be functional, right? So that's the idea. You require kevesh, and if you don't have a kevesh, it's ma'akev. But why is it ma'akev? Why is it ma'akev? If you have a mizbeach that only has gimel kronos, the mizbeach is ma'akev because the very chetz of the mizbeach is physically lacking. You don't have it. Okay. If you have the mizbeach and you don't have kevesh, the physical structure of the mizbeach is there. It's not the, it's, you know, but it's lacking because the mizbeach is not able to be used. So that's what a motion. What? On Caffrey Avenue, you might on Caffrey you might be able to. What? No, I'm not going to pass any answer. You ruined the sun on my in-law's deck, so what? That's a separate thing. But anyway, well, we got to look at a Hilchos Shteinim. Okay, but no, that so. But conceptually, you know what? I don't know. It's a good question, right? Was it objectified as Kevesh, or would you say, oh, you know what? I could use a lift today, right? So it's a fair question. So, Moshe.
So the one question I think you were asking is the Ola. I was expecting you to finish up on it, and then you went on. I forgot the point, but it's... Man has to recognize.
Right. So we wanted to say an idea in Adam Imokam Kapara Samogra. It's funny, for years I had it wrong. I always thought it was Adam Bimokam Kapara Samogra. Okay. Meaning man was created and you have been following that, you have Bimokam Kapara, but it's Adam Mimokam Kapara Samogra. And what? Offer min adama. That's the lima for that. So we wanted to say as follows, and so that with the that really kapara was created with along with the creation of man. It didn't come after the creation of man. I don't really think it came before the creation of man because its purpose is man. Okay, but kapara didn't come after the creation of man. Okay, what we would call the creation or the institution of kapara came along with the creation of man. So why should that be? So man is different than all other creations. You guys can work out the rest. How is man different? So... every creation really has a specific nature. So if you have a wolf, oh, I picked wolf. But if you have an animal, a lion, a wolf, a predator, an animal is a predator, and the animal goes fox, and the animal goes out and hunts, and it chooses, and it consumes its prey, and it attacks, you'd say that's the nature of the animal. You know, I always joke, we learned Shabbos morning, my friend Paul's house, and he has a dog, and every time the postman comes, the dog barks. Can't really ask, why does the dog bark at the postman? I mean, that's its nature. And we still ask the question, you know, dumb dog, but that is its nature. And similarly, so you have a nature, and if nature is that it just follows its instinctual animal, then that's its nature. If you want to talk about a malach, whatever malach means, but a seichel nifrad, then its nature is that it's a seichel. So man's complicated, okay? Because when you get to man, you have what I would say, you have a conflicted being, shtei yitzros. Originally, we were using the word man's imperfect, but I want to suggest that God made an imperfect creation, okay? But man is a conflicted being, okay? Because he has shtei yitzros. Why is man a conflicted being? Why does he have? Because man is supposed to be a bocher. And the nature of man is really to be a bocher, right? Man was created with conflicting, as a conflicted I think the idea is that, so really, because it's almost impossible for man to constantly be acting in line with the will of his creator, because he's this being that's in conflict. And he creates the other Ram in the world. But that is the nature of man. So kapara is what allows man to exist. But what I want to say is there are, I guess, two aspects to kapara. One is that God really allows man to exist in this conflicted state, even though the actions of man, right, at least one level is going to be maybe against the Ratzon of Hashem, right? Because that is man's nature. But the other thing is that the idea of the kapara is that man has to recognize his conflicted nature. That's the point. Man is supposed to be a bocher, and in order to be a bocher, in order to be bocher betov, right, and follow away, he must recognize his nature. And Adam Mimakom Kaparasa Nivra is really an idea that when a person encounters Mizbeach, he's really recognizing his nature. And his nature is that he is a conflicted being. He's different. And somehow or another, he has to overcome that, and he has to be able to be a bocher, and he has to be able to be a bocher to the Torah. So every time man encounters Mizbeach is that opportunity and that kapara that emerges from it. It's not chayin and kapara. You know, it's like we say by tshuva, there are two types of tshuva. There are tshuva for avonos, and then there's tshuva that there's a perfection. So so I think the same thing maybe with kapara. There's kapara, we have a specific chait, and literally, there's a chiyuv tashlumin on that, and God's going to now be mochel on it. But then there's a kapara because of the state. And whenever man encounters the mizbeach, and he recognizes his nature, and that he is his conflicted being, then that's an opportunity and a vehicle for him to achieve a kapara. And that's why it would be, I think, clearly as an ola, I would think at any korban, any time man encounters, that's the idea of man encountering mizbeach and the adam yinakum kaparos or nivra. Not something magical or whatever, that, you know what, the ground seeps, you know, we got kapara air in the ground, and now all of a sudden it's going to somehow or another seep into you and you're going to feel cleansed. But it's man's recognition of that idea of how he was created, the nature of his being, that will bring about a kapara.
Yeah, Nadavos,
whatever. You know, Mechayv is always kaptar, right? You're going to go to Mikdash on Re'iyah.
Right. So,
I'm just saying, so, right.
Explain
so,
the Ola.
What?
They don't explain the Ola. The institution itself.
Right. So, that was a little bit of, people were very patient today, so I hope the philosophy at the end is. Yeah, go speak to Toby.
It's not
part of the avodah. But the idea is like this: the destination of the dam. So now that, so you see, the dam requires a destination, right? So what we're saying is that the question that the possibility that had been raised before was, all right, maybe you have, what was said was arbitrary. Well, maybe you just happened to have, you created a place, you needed a place for the dam, and you say, hey, you know what? Where are we going to put this place? Well, the key is over there, and that's tied up, and that's tied up. I got some real estate here, and you know what? It would be unobtrusive. It's very easy. We can make some underground pipes and get it out of here, and we'll just make it there. So what we're saying is that the institution of Yesod was not there for Shiur Adam, per se. The institution was defined as a Malkum Kapara. Okay, but now that you have this, so now it becomes a good location for it. Okay, not because it's empty space again, but because there's an idea there. My sister Toby pointed out, like the Rambam says in the Mora, that there are a lot of issues with Dam, a lot of superstitions, a lot of source of avodah zara. So you know, when a person's involved in mikdash, we know in general, when a person's involved in mikdash, there's a tremendous opportunity to really mess up. And you can go into Mikdash with the best of intentions and come out of Mikdash as no way to go to Zaro. So you could say even further that it makes sense that when it comes to Sharia Adam, that a person, even though he's not Mechapa per se in the halacha sense, but this is a suitable well, this is a suitable place for that. So just in closing, just want to say that I want to thank everyone here. And I just want to say, and I really mean this, that it's very nice to be able to share Torah with Kaveirin and more points for coming. So thank you very much.
So there are three points that I just want to add to the share. The first point is with respect to why the Sher Adam went to the Yesod. Not sure if we sufficiently explained it. What we had said previously was that the Dam could not be discarded. The Dam had to have a destination. I think the idea is that the destination of the Dam had to be the Mizbeach. However, once the Kiyum HaKorban is realized through the Zrikas Adam, there's no longer a place for the Sher Adam to be in a Makom where you could have the Mitzvah, so which is the sides of the Mizbeach or the Kronos. So the destination of the Dam is the Mizbeach, but the place where it went was the part of the Mizbeach that was not involved in the Zrika and where there was no Kapara. That's the first idea. The second idea relates to the Kevesh. So Meir Zucker mentioned to me that the Pasuk that teaches us the halacha of the Kevesh is refers to it as El Penei HaMizbeach. So he had said that when they learned it, they learned the idea that there had to be a Penei HaMizbeach, the front of the Mizbeach, so to speak. So the Kevesh created that entity. I think it still fits with the Sfarah, because the basic Sfarah was that the Kevesh was not inherently a part of the Mizbeach, but it created a Kiyum in the Mizbeach. So I wanted to say that the Kiyum in the Mizbeach was that the Mizbeach had to be accessible. There was a requirement in the Mizbeach. According to this, it creates this idea in the Mizbeach of the face or the front of the Mizbeach and the way you approach the Mizbeach. It's a different approach. Doesn't answer the question necessarily why there was no Kevesh in Bifnim, but it's an alternate way you could understand the halacha of Kevesh. The third point has to do with the idea that the Yesod defines the Mizbeach HaChitzon as being a Makom Kapara. So my father-in-law asked me a question. He said, what about the Mizbeach HaPnimi? Was that Mechaper? So the answer is, of course, the Mizbeach HaPnimi was Mechaper. But the Mizbeach HaPnimi did not have to be defined as a Makom Kapara. And the reason for that is, as was mentioned previously by Rabbi Zimmer, that the nature of the Mizbeach HaChitzon was that it was for Kapara. That was its very nature. And that's the idea that it was built specifically on the Makom, Adam and Makom Kaparos. Nivra. So that's the nature of the Mizbeach. So it had to be in line with its nature. It had to be defined as a Makom Kapara. The Mizbeach HaPnimi had a whole different function. Essentially, it was a Mizbeach for the Ketores. So it was capable of being Mechaper, but it didn't need a Yisod because it didn't have to be defined as a Makom Kapara in order for it to function.